So we're starting a new series today. We meant to start it last Sunday because the power was out, storming and all that. We improvised, just like we're improvising today with a cool new set. We got creative. We played with it a little. We'll take a vote later, see what you think, guys think, and we'll go from there. So new series called, you might have saw it on Facebook, Big Fat Hypocrite. This series is going to hurt a little. I'm not going to lie. It's going to hurt just a little bit. Sometimes we have to preach those sermons that hurt. There's not my favorite sermons, although I know they need to be talked about. And when I'm hearing it, I'm like, oh, that's good. I needed to hear that. You know, I needed to be put in check a little. This series is going to, although it's going to be great, just be ready. It's going to hurt a little, okay? We're going to shine some light on some areas that we've looked past and we find ourselves to be big, fat hypocrites. All right, so my son, as you saw him, Gage, he is an awesome kid. He's 4 years old, and just recently, in the past month, I was able to, not just me, it was a family effort, to get him potty trained, right? Okay, and that was, oh my gosh, a huge, huge ordeal. I mean, I went through so many months of bribing, reverse psychology, forward psychology, shame, celebration. I tried everything in the book to make this happen, you know. And some of that sounds bad, and I'm sorry. I'm desperate. I'm a desperate person. I got tired of having to wipe up messes, and so I was like, please. And the diapers were hurting my wallet. Very painful there. And so so I'm trying to potty train him and all that, and we finally figured out what it was. So I didn't have this when I was a kid, and it's really cool. I wish I would have had one when I was a kid. Gage has an iPad, right? So we got him an iPad. So I had an iPad, and I would let him play it, and then he would just kind of take it over, and it would get filled up with all the little games and all that. And so when I was preaching, little chimes would come up of alerts. Hey, you forgot to play this game. You know, you've earned more coins and whatever. So I was like, all right, I got to get him his own iPad. I can't do this anymore. So on Christmas, I bought it. It's funny, when Christmas rolled around, you know, they try to give all credit to Santa Claus. No, I take the credit for the big ones. And I say, Santa got you the candy canes. I got you this, okay? Daddy bought this for you. So we got him his own iPad, right? And so we begin to bribe him with, we'll buy you an app. Because he would get the free games and all that. But if you want one of the ones you have to buy and he really wants them, I said, you got to go on the potty. If you want that, you got to. And to be, nobody mean to be crude, but you got to poop on the potty, all right? The peeing was easy. That's an easy thing to deal with, you know. It was the poop. So I was, I said, you got to poop on the potty. You got to do your duty, and you can get an app, right? And so it would be this whole ordeal, and end up, he would go on the potty, and then he'd come and say, Dad, where's my app? I want an app, Dad. I want an app. I pooped on the potty. I did it. So I'm like, okay, all right, which one do you want? Of course, I wouldn't get like the $6 ones. It'd be like the dollar, right? And I'm like, this is totally worth a dollar, him going on the potty. I would be paying him physically, but it works better this way. I don't know what he's going to do with the physical money. He has like $20 in his little wallet that his grandmother gave him that he hasn't spent it in a month. It's just Twizzler money is what he calls it. And so Twizzler is like his favorite thing. And so after a while, like, you know, it was like, I did it. And I'm like, great, bottom nap. Did it. You know, after a month, I begin to realize, okay, he's doing this on his own now. I don't even have to tell him to go to the potty. He'll run to the potty. He'll do it. So I'm like, okay, this is getting expensive again. How do I take it back? And so I begin to say, yeah, we'll do it later. We'll do it later. We'll do it later. And he'd forget a little bit. And then forget a little bit. And to this day, every once in a while, he'll come to me and he'll see an app that costs money. He'll come to me and he'll go, hey, I pooped on the potty. Can I buy the app? Right? And I'm like, okay, son, I think we're getting to a point to where I can't celebrate every time you poop on the potty, you know? I mean, I'm proud of you. I really am. He'll look up sometimes because we would celebrate him. We would cheer in the bathroom. I'm sure we live in an apartment. Our neighbors probably thought we were crazy. But we would jump up and down and cheer and like, yeah, you did it. And now, like, to the point where he makes me come look at it and he goes, aren't you proud of me? And I'm like, yes, son, I am so proud of you. I am. This might be a little too much knowledge, but we were just out of town, and he made his grandmother take a picture of it and send it to Hannah just to say, aren't you proud of me, Mommy? little boys. So I'm sure if F was around when I was his age, I would have done the same thing. So they got to a certain point where I was like, son, I can't extravagantly celebrate now that it's what's your duty. You know, you're doing your duty. And so I got to a point where I'm like, okay, you're supposed to do this, right? This is normal now, right? I can't celebrate this every time that you do it. How often do we find that we do the same thing? We want that. And the funny thing is adults really do it more than kids do. Because kids, they're learning it. They're learning that this is in their life, that they can ask for things because we introduce it to them. Pause. I feel smarter. Smart water. So we do this too. So we get to work, right? And we go to our jobs and we fulfill whatever our thing is, you know, and we go through this normal job and we do this stuff. And there comes a point, haven't you ever felt like, man, I want more. Like, celebrate me more. I got up today and I was on time. You know, that's a big deal. It's a chore to do that. That might be, I don't know, a millennial thing. Who knows? But there gets to a point where people feel that way. They're like, man, I want to be celebrated because I've done what I was supposed to do. And once you first begin, that's great. That's fine. You know, when you get to a new job and you've done a great thing, made a good sale, they celebrate you. They clap, you know, they go, awesome, way to go. Then the next month, you make another sale. They're like, okay, you're waiting for your balloons and celebration. They're going to be like, good job. You know, you're doing your job now. That's awesome, you know? And so we do this a lot in our life. I do this in marriage. I'm wrong for it, but I'll do what I'm supposed to do as a husband, and then I'm looking for celebration because I did this thing. And it's funny, you know, because I'm waiting for this. And then he's like, thank you. Thanks for taking out the trash. No, that's what you're supposed to do. And I'm like, but I got off the couch. I got uncomfortable. I did it, you know. We do this as adults. In other words, if we admit it or not, this happens. And you're guilty of it. Whether you want to admit it or not, there's somewhere in your life as a human where you've completed your normal tasks and thought that you should get extra because of it. This is normal. This is a human nature. And it has a lot to do with because we're selfish. We always want more than what we're allotted, what's normal. This is something that Jesus deals with. He does it in a parable. And this is in Luke. If you have your Bibles with you or your smartphones or whatever it may be, Luke 17, 7 through 10 is what we're going to be looking at. Luke 17, 7 through 10. This is something that Jesus knows that's in humans. It's in us, and so he addresses it. This is what he says to them. This is a parable. It says, will any one of you who has a servant plowing or keeping sheep say to him when he has come in from the field, come at once and recline at table? Will he not rather say to him, prepare supper for me and dress properly and serve me while I eat and drink? And afterward, you will eat and drink. Does he thank the servant because he did what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you are commanded, say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done what is our duty. In this parable, it's a really cool thing that Jesus does. He used a lot of parables in this time, and he was like, there was, you know, visuals and things to be able to explain stuff like that, but Jesus really came along and like, I'm going to take this to a whole new level, and he listed all these parables of how you can apply it. It's application. It's a story that you can look at and apply. Now, of course, we don't have servants now. We see it as something different because of our culture. But in that time, servants were, it was a normal thing and it was an okay thing because it was basically they work for you. You pay them, you know, they work for you. This is who this is. And so they serve them. And so when he used this analogy, it was something that hit very home to them because a lot of them probably had a servant and they had somebody that worked for them. So in the same instance, if you're a boss of a company or you're a manager, it's kind of the same thing. You would say, okay, yeah, you've done your job. Now you've come back from that sale and you did it. Great. Now don't put your feet up. Now log it. You know, keep working. Keep doing your thing. Your time clock isn't up yet. It's not time to go home and go to sleep. Keep doing it. This is a hard pill to swallow for his disciples at the time and for the people at the time. Jesus is addressing characters. See, before this, why he said this in this moment, because right before this, he went through a lot of different parables where he was talking about character, right? And so he's talking about things like dealing with offenses, being straightforward with people. He's talking about grace and forgiveness for people. He's addressing all these things, and so he follows up with this parable because he knows how humans act. He knows that they'll follow up with a sense of entitlement. Because in this time, see, with the Pharisees, they had a lot of laws, right? And the laws were something that earned their way into heaven. So if he's telling them, follow these directions and do these things with others, he knows that the next thought that they're going to have is, okay, I've done those things. Have I achieved it? Have I won what I was supposed to win? Have I won my eternity? Have I gotten it? Where's all the extra blessing coming because I did what I was supposed to do? Jesus knows how humans act. He knows how I followed my orders. Now, where are my rewards? The cool thing, this was out of ESV, what I just read. In the King James Version, it says unprofitable instead of unworthy. Unprofitable servants. That's a real cool analogy because a lot of the things that they do, they think that God owes them for something after they've done so much. See, the Pharisees, through their laws, they thought that God owed them. Like they did all these things, they achieved all this stuff, they followed the laws, which were almost impossible to follow, and none of them really did it anyways, but they made other people think that they did because they're worried so much about people's judgment. But they thought if they could achieve all these things, they've won. They've done what they're supposed to do, and they've earned what they're supposed to earn. See, when Jesus hit the scene, and not that people didn't know this before, it's just Jesus shed some light to it, right? He came with the truth, and he presented it, and he presented it to the disciples and all of the people. And the truth was is that who they really were in creation. The truth that they learned was that I have a purpose in this world. I have a creator. I have a God. I have someone that has made me. See, the thing about the creation and the creator, how much sense would it make for a master builder to build something and then to serve? It's meant for the builder to serve the thing. It doesn't happen that way. The master builder builds something so it can serve him, right? We are a creation. We were meant for something when we were made. When God made us, when he created humanity, he said, okay, here's my creation, now serve. The cool thing about God, though, is not just about serving. He wants us to flourish. He wants to be in relationship. It's not just this minute relationship, this one-way thinking thing. He wants us to grow. So it's so much more than what we think service is to be. The veil has been pulled off of their eyes for the people of this time when Jesus came. The Pharisees had entitlement with the law, but what they didn't understand was the price was too high. They can't afford their own salvation. They can't afford to buy it. No matter what they did here on earth, no matter how many laws they made or what they followed, they could never buy their way into heaven with works. It doesn't happen that way because they are not the creator. They didn't make this. So they were built to serve. The disciples were built to serve. And once they learned this, and they became Christ's followers, it all began to click. It all began to make sense. The disciples began to do awesome and amazing things. Not that they were self-assured. They didn't have instant like self-security. They still had insecurities. It was still, there's a lot of fear in that, a lot of the unknown. But when they were following Jesus, it worked. It happened because they were fulfilling what they were supposed to do. The creation was serving the creator. Christ revealed the truth, and he challenged them to fulfill what they were supposed to be. We have choice. We have free will. We can choose what we want to do. It's a gift from God. And it means our choice means more to God than it means to us. Because anything we choose is essentially for us. But when we choose God, our choice, it's huge to God because his creation has decided to be what they were created to be. And he begins to see that flourish. He begins to be able to pour in to them as you begin to know where you stand, where you serve. Jesus is telling his people that they are servants. Then he takes them a step further and says, okay, now you've served. Don't ask for extra payment. If you're a Christ follower, if you're here today and you're a Christ follower, you've been given the truth. You've realized this truth. And it's become real to you. You're like, okay, I'm a creation. God created me. I have purpose. I'm supposed to be. I'm supposed to be here. I'm not an accident that just a bang happened and I'm just appeared out of a fish. You know, whatever, you know, whatever creationism story you want to go with, all that's gone. You were made for a purpose. You were made in the image of God. Really cool thing. You now have this truth. The truth has set you free. Now you are free indeed. You no longer have to wonder why you were here. So when you became a Christ follower, things changed. God celebrated. Really cool moment, right? You like, doors started opening, the sun was brighter, the grass was greener, really cool stuff. God began to change and mold things in your life, having breakthrough, whether it was financial, relational, whatever it may be. When you first realize, hey, I want to follow Christ, I choose to do this, Christ comes in like a wrecking ball and just like crashes in there and takes down a lot of the negative stuff in your life and gives you breakthrough, gives you what you want, what you've been desiring from someone to serve. And it's a really cool moment. And so, but over time, you mature. You mature as a Christ follower, right? And you're serving and you're doing your thing and you're being what you're supposed to be. And then there comes a moment where you're like, all right, God, I did my duty. Where's my app? You know, it's been a while since you made the decision. You've been being a Christian, a Christ follower for a while, but you're still holding your hand out saying, all right, God, I did it. Where's more? If you've been a mature Christian for a while, you'll realize that when you just what you're supposed to do, you fulfill your duties, and you just keep holding your hand out for sugar daddy God to just drop it in your hand, your hand's going to be empty. It doesn't work that way. God's looking down. Jesus is looking down and says, awesome. I'm proud of you. You did it, but that's your duty. You did what you're supposed to do. This is normal now. I told you this was going to hurt a little. I said it was going to hurt a little. It's a little because sometimes we want that. And I'm guilty of this too. I'm so guilty of this because there's times when I'm doing church and I got to get up in the morning and I'm not too excited about something that's going on as far as the church world is concerned and I'm going through the motions and I'm like, God, why haven't I had all this breakthrough? Where's it at? You know, and God's like, well, you started the church and we celebrated. That was cool. You know, we blessed you financially. We did all these great things. But now you're doing what you're supposed to do. You're doing your duty, right? And I'm supposed to expect extra from God because I'm being the servant that I'm supposed to be in having church. See, I'm guilty just like you are. We're all of doing that. We can't put God into debt to us. Anything we do for him is a small repayment for the work he's done for us. See, Jesus went and paid a price that we couldn't pay. He paid a debt for us that we could never pay. We never had enough money. It's kind of like the U.S. debt. We never have enough money to pay it off. Jesus came and paid it for us. He sacrificed for us. He came to this world. He died. He lived a perfect life and still died when he wasn't guilty. He paid the ultimate price. So the debt that he paid for us, if we couldn't pay it before, we definitely can't pay it now, and surely he can't owe us beyond. You see, you get the math there? We can't expect to put God in debt to us because we're fulfilling what we should be doing. Now, all this is through God's grace. Our salvation, what Jesus did, was all through his grace, just because he loved us. Now, he didn't have to. We could just suffer. He could do that because we're his creation. He could just let us suffer, but he loves us so much that he was gracious to us. So if you want more grace, if you want God to do something cool in your life, if it's been a while that you're just cruising along, just doing your duty as a Christ follower, and you're like, man, Lord, I haven't seen anything in a while. Where is your blessings? It's time to get out of your comfort zone then. It's time to achieve something greater. It's time to get out of the box. It's time to not just go on the potty, but let's brush your teeth on your own. Let's make your own dinner. Let's take out the trash. Let's go above and beyond what's expected of us. See, that's the good news, is that Christ hasn't just put us there to suffer. He says, all right, now I celebrate you're a Christian. No, he says, hey, if you want to take another leap of faith, if you want to jump out there and do something, I'll be there. Because where our weaknesses are, he shines through. Our weaknesses as a church, we're not very big. I mean, there's no thing around that. We're not a very large church, right? And so for us to take on big projects like helping Elijah Rising, Star of Hope Kids, things like that, it's saying, God, we're taking a leap of faith. We're jumping out there. And because we're doing that, we get to see God do some awesome stuff. He comes through for us. See, the trouble is for us personally, though, for you, and this is one of those things that hurts again, is that the good news, if we get out of our comfort zone, if we do and we try, God will do new blessings. But the problem is us as Christ followers, we're not even meeting bare minimum. And if you'll be honest with yourself, you will find that. Are you truly an unprofitable servant? Or are you a idealist? Do you just believe it and it sounds good and you tell people it sounds good? Or are you actually serving your community? Are you serving your neighbors? Are you serving your family? Do you wake up in the morning and go, God, what can I do today? How can I serve you, God? Are you being a true servant to the definition? Analyze yourself. Really think about that. Because the sad truth is, we get too comfortable. We get too comfortable in our way of life, and we lose that servant's heart. Because it's just easier to let someone else deal with it. Elijah Rising will handle it. I don't have to help in human trafficking. The Star of Hope people, Ian will take care of it. I don't have to worry about it. Ian works at Star of Hope, if you didn't know that. No. A true servant sees a need and jumps in and says, I'm here to serve. What can I do? Whether that's with Village Heights, serving here, making this happen on Sundays, or outside of the walls of here, when we go into the schools and we make things for the teachers just to tell them that we love them. We serve them lunch. Whatever it may be, getting involved in the Heights Association to show our community, hey, we care about the things that you care about. We serve them. And because of the servant heart of this church, it's something that we have implanted and tried to grow from the very beginning, we've had some awesome things happen. God has been gracious to us because we have individually decided to be servants. So as a whole, as the we, then we look at Village Heights and we go, is Village Heights an unprofitable servant? Do we advertise in the community just to get people here on Sundays to fill the seats? Is that what we care about? Is just our Sunday production? Is it a show? Is it a concert? Is it emotional high? If we were doing that, then we're not unprofitable servants. We're just looking for it to make us feel good because, man, we got it going on. I care more about what happens beyond these walls than what happens in here. Now, I'm sorry if that offends some of you. I do care about you. I really do. We prepare sermon series. We do all this stuff, but you're not going to often find that I'm going to go to the extra mile and bring a smoke machine in here just to give you a 10 minutes of an elated experience in worship. If we make it too easy, then it's kind of hard. You're not really serving because serving hurts a little, right? Serving takes some effort. It takes some elbow grease. It takes some moments of, I got to get up earlier. I got to do this stuff to be a servant. And then take it a step further. I'm an unprofitable servant. When we give to this community, when Village Heights gives to this community, we don't expect anything in return. We the ways that we serve, and if somebody wants to come to the church, great, through that. Awesome. Join the team. Join the family. Help us serve this community. But we don't do it just so we can feel good about ourselves or to advertising video. Hey, we're here, and you know, if you need another church to hop to, come here. No, we're not about that. We're not going to do that because we're servants here. That's what we're always going to be. And for somebody that, if somebody comes to this church, and I'm hoping, it sounds funny, and I hope it's this case, if they're not have that, if they don't have that heart and they can't accept it, they'll be too uncomfortable here to stay. And it's happened, and that's okay. That's all right. Maybe they can find somewhere else. But we will be servants here, unprofitable servants. So the question is, are you, in your life, a big, fat hypocrite? Are you truly a servant? Are you expecting profit from God like you can put him in debt to you? Lord, I gave this much. I gave this much offering and tithe. Where is the tenfold to come over? It doesn't work that way. But if you are honorable in it and you give with a servant's heart, not expecting a return, God is gracious enough to say, I'm going to bless you now. Because of your attitude, because of your love, because of your heart, I want that to grow. And I want other people to see it. And so he will bless you more and more and more. And then as a church, are we unprofitable servants? Are we big, fat hypocrites? I hope that we're not. And it will be, I'd rather see this die than for this church to become another hypocrite of this community. So my challenge for you today, as you go, as you mature as a Christian, if you're a Christ follower, my challenge for you is this week, analyze yourself. Analyze your day. Analyze your work relationships. Do you expect, now I know if you're a manager, this is different, but you can serve your people under you. You can do that. That's possible. You can love on them. You can help them. Now, analyze yourself and say, am I truly a servant to the people around me? Am I truly emulating what Christ has called me to be? And that's a servant to everybody. I'm not saying you have to give up everything that you have or anything like that, but do you really love them? Do you want to see them flourish? And are you expecting something in return? Analyze that. And if you find some moments where it was selfish, change it. Change it. Try something different. Don't expect anything in return. And when you do that, I can guarantee it'll begin to click. Just like for the disciples and the people following Jesus at that time, it began to click for them because they begin to realize where their place is. See, the cool thing about all of this is that when the truth came, it wasn't like they found something new. They really just found out where they stood the whole time. And it was like the fog, that's why they call it a veil, was taken off. The fog was gone. They understand. You today understand now where you've been the whole time. And now that you know what your position is in this creation, in this world, to the master builder, you can begin to fulfill that in your own lives and as this church, as Village Heights. And I'm excited about that because really cool things. Because then once we realize who we are, then we get to know where do we take the leaps of faith? Where do we get out of our comfort zone? Where do we try harder so that we can see the grace of God shine through? And that's when life really begins to get exciting. So I challenge you this week, do that. Try it. It's going to hurt. I'm not going to lie. I'll be there. I'll give you a Band-Aid. You know, I'll say, I'm sorry. You know, it does hurt. You're right. You know, and whatever it may be. But I want to see you guys get past this stuff. I want to see myself get past this stuff. And that way we can really see Jesus do some awesome things in us, in this church, and this community. I'm going to pray, and then we are going to be dismissed. Lord, I thank you so much for your awesome love. God, I thank you for creating us. Lord, for us to realize where we belong in this universe, God, why we were created and what we were built for, Lord. And when we learn that, some of us know it better than others. Some of us are still learning, Lord. Whatever stage that we're in, Lord, it's an awesome feeling to know our purpose, Lord, and things begin to click. Lord, as this machine turns, as life turns, Lord, we learn the gears and we learn what turns the clock and all this stuff, Lord, it begins to click for us. And it's an awesome feeling, Lord, because we get to see you in our lives more and more. Lord, I pray that we would have the courage to confront ourselves and to ask ourselves if we're big, fat hypocrites. if that we are truly servants, not just to you, God, but to everybody. Because if we're a servant to you, God, then we serve everybody. I thank you so much, Lord. Bless these people. Challenge us, Lord. Help us see. Pull the veil from our eyes and help us grow in you in maturity, Lord. I thank you so much. And keep us safe. Lord, again, I pray for the people that have been flooded. Lord, I pray for breakthrough, provision. Lord, if it's us that need to help these people, Lord, shine the light on it. Help us see, and that way we can be there for them, be servants for them. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.